Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord, to worship you, to praise you. And we give you thanks that we can gather here with our brothers and sisters in your name, brothers and sisters that we love and that are loved by you and who love our Lord. We come to you this morning, Lord, asking you to open our ears to understand your word. Open our ears to understand your word proclaimed. We ask that you would guide us and guide every thought that we have and be with us now and always. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this Easter morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of our Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. And of course, the other disciple who Jesus loves is John, who's writing this, by the way. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looking in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize him, realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Easter Sunday mornings used to be almost standing room only in churches, packed. But our world has gone a long way. We used to say come a long way, but I think it's gone a long way. And it's not every family's tradition to at least go to church on Easter. And even today, you read articles in nationwide magazines and people that write questioning whether the Christ of 2,000 years ago is really necessary for today. Is really, do people really believe today? This is the Christ whose death and resurrection was foreseen in Scripture 2,000 years earlier. This was the Christ who over 8 times told his disciples that he would die and how he would die and when he would die, and that he would be raised from the dead. The Scripture is reliable. The Scripture is infallible. If you were going to make a story up, you'd have made a better story. Certainly, men writing in that time would not have allowed the Lord to be first seen by a woman, a person who had no legal status to give testimony in that day. They would have had some man of great stature proclaim that they had seen the Christ at first. The Gospels were written by people, with the exception of Luke, who had directly seen the risen Christ. And Luke gave his introduction to his Gospel by talking about the extensive research he had done, speaking to people who had directly seen the risen Christ. If you read Luke's account, it sounds like he interviewed Mary. Both Mary, the mother of Christ, and Mary Magdalene. Unlike most legends and tales, the Scripture was written while the people who knew the truth were still alive. Paul wrote in his writings that Jesus was seen by over 500 people, most of whom are still alive, at his writing. Most of the writing about Christ took place between 30 and 70 years after his death. Jesus Christ is alive and well in this earth. Christianity, you wouldn't know it by the United States, but is growing all over the world, even in China, growing even in Africa, growing even in Korea, and I'm sure that there are pockets in North Korea meeting even this morning, secretly. Scripture tells us that to the unbeliever, it will be nonsense. But to those who believe, it's life-saving. The scripture today tells about Peter and John running to the tomb. And what did they see when they got there? They saw the linens that Jesus' body had been wrapped in, laying there. Not laying there like someone who had stolen his body and torn them from his body would have left them laying, but neatly folded, like the body had just come out of them and left them as they were wrapped around him. And the piece that was wrapped around his head was laying separate from that of the body, just as it would have been when the body had come out of them. And it tells us they saw it and they believed. And later when Jesus first appears to his disciples coming right in through the locked door of the room where they were gathered, he shows them the wound in his side and in his hands and in his feet. Moses, wherever his body is buried, what remains of his bones are there today. All the other religious leaders in the world died, and their bodies were buried, and their tombs were worshipped. But Jesus Christ arose from the dead, just as he had promised. Jesus Christ took upon himself my sin and your sin, and paid a terrible price for it. Because sin is terrible. But he lives. And because he lives, you and I can live as well. I love the song, don't you, that because he lives, we can see tomorrow. But my friends, when we talk about going to heaven, when we talk about going to God's kingdom, we don't have to wait for that. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, salvation and eternity have already started. Salvation and eternity start the day that we believe. Eternal life is not something that we must die for. It's something we must live for. Last week we talked about how great the sin was that Jesus died for. But today I want to talk to you about how great the love that God has for his people, that he would give his son, and how great the love that Jesus has for his people, that he would give his life for you and for me. And why did he give his life for you and for me? Because it is important to him. It is very important to him that you and I believe. But it's also important to him that you and I share that good news, the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ with others. When someone wins a great prize, they tell their friends, they tell their neighbors, they tell their family, they share it. And you, my friends, have won a great prize that you must tell your friends and tell your families and share it. I think one of the saddest things that I have had to occur is to do funerals for people. People that I knew to be saved, people that I knew that knew the Lord, and have family and friends come up to them and not be sure. Come up to me after the funeral and not be sure. Somehow they just hadn't even told their family what they believed. They hadn't told their friends what they believed. And I'm thinking, what a shame. I don't want to go to my grave not having told everyone in my family, everyone who's my friend, everyone that I work with, everyone that I meet, that Jesus Christ died. But Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ lives. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Jesus Christ lives today with me, within me, and through me. Jesus Christ dwells with me and you. And that's extraordinarily good news. It's extraordinary happy news. How come we don't feel the joy? My brothers and sisters, it is so important not to miss out on the joy of salvation. It is so important. I know life can be hard, and illness and work and family, and just so many things come at us and so many things we must deal with. But don't miss the joy. Don't miss the elation. Don't miss the wonder that comes every single day when you think about what Jesus Christ did and how much He loves you and how much He cared for you. And you are so precious in His sight that He would lay down His life for you. Jesus didn't lay His life down for Tomahawk Presbyterian Church, for the Presbyterian Church, for the Catholic Church, for all the churches. He didn't lay it down for the United States of America or for North America and Europe or all the world. Jesus Christ laid His life down for you, and He knows you by name. He knows you personally. Who else would do that for you? Oh, we might lay down our life for somebody that we loved and thought were wonderful and great, but would you lay down your life for someone that you knew to be a sinner? Would you lay down your life for someone that you knew they had brought everything on themselves? Jesus laid down His life for you and me personally, loving us when we were not lovable, bringing us to be, because he covered our sins in His blood, and He redeemed us with His death. But also, He restores us with His life. And He gives us hope, and He gives us promise, and He gives us joy. Today we come and celebrate. No one gathering around an empty tomb, but lifting our eyes to the heavens and feeling His presence in our heart. We worship the living Jesus Christ. We worship the Jesus Christ who said, "I can lay my life down and I can take it up." And He did. Now the people in that day, the Jewish people leaders gathered and went to the Roman leaders and told them that we worry that these people are saying that Jesus will rise in 3 days. They knew the Scripture. They knew the Old Testament even much better than Jesus' disciples did, because the Jews were so much better educated in Scripture than the disciples were at that time. And they went to the Romans and said, "These people are saying, this Jesus said that He will be raised in 3 days, and we don't want them to come and steal the body away and say He was raised." And so the Romans told them to post guards there, and so they sealed the cave. They rolled a huge stone in front of the cave that Jesus' body had been placed in. They sealed it. They placed a guard, and yet that was nothing to stop the angels from rolling away the stone. The angels didn't roll away the stone so Jesus could be taken out. The angels didn't even roll the stone so that, like, that Jesus could walk out. The angels rolled away the stone to show that Jesus was not there, that He was risen. And all that remained was His burial cloth, lying there, even as His body had come out of them. We worship the risen Christ Jesus. We worship Jesus who died on the cross for you and for me. We worship Jesus who lives so that we can have life. We have and have it eternal. We worship Jesus Christ who knows you personally, who knows you by name, who wants a personal, loving relationship with you and with me. Spend time with your Lord. Spend time with your friend. Spend time with your Savior. Have the personal relationship that can only come through Jesus Christ. Amen.